Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by the great people at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, whatever your insurance needs may be, they'll find you exactly the coverage you need, and they'll find you the best price. And then they will update you, make sure you're always fully covered, and if there's ever a claim, they go to work, and I mean they really go to work for you. Personalized service from the great people at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Mike Munchak, by the way, is leaving the Steelers. He will become the offensive line coach for the Denver Broncos. The Steelers are falling apart before our eyes. No reaction from you, Sean?
That's a huge loss. That's a huge loss. And he's got family in Denver, so you can completely understand and respect that decision. But that O-line, they love to play for Munchak.
Well, when he came in, he made a big difference, didn't he? Because they were kind of okay.
Had their moments, yeah.
And then he got there, and all of a sudden he felt like he had a pro's pro at the wheel. Now the Denver Broncos, who over the years actually built their reputation on offensive lines, run play, will get Mike Munchak there coaching their offensive line.
That's actually impressive for Denver. I mean, yeah. Munchak was also in the mix for the head coach. So you have two guys, you know, Fangio, Dunmore native, and now Mike Munchak. You got, you know, two guys that were in the mix for the head coaching position now on the same staff. That's very impressive on Denver's part.
Well, Vic hired him. He knows what he's getting in a northeastern PA guy. All right. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Breeze drops back, throws, end zone, touchdown! Mike Thomas from 2 yards out, and the Saints take their first lead of the day.
Well, down 14-0, the Saints finally took the lead, played with the lead, and that's, to me, the biggest mistake the Eagles made in the game yesterday. You got to take a guy out. And Michael Thomas is the passing game. He's the guy you got to take out. He had 12 catches for 200. Didn't do a very good job with him yesterday at all. All right. So let's talk about the Eagles. With that, we go to Philadelphia and bring in Matt Leon. Matt, great to have you with us. Welcome back.
Good to be with you.
All right. Last year at this time, you were worried about street lamps somehow surviving. That is not an issue, I believe, this time. Let's start with this. In the end, they had to play five of their last six games on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, and I looked at the Chargers going, Baltimore, let's go back to Los Angeles, then let's go back to New England. So, I mean, that wears on you. Did that eventually wear on a team that was already fighting depth to begin with?
It kind of seemed like the second half, the Eagles just never really had any jump in their step. And I don't mean that in the idea that their effort waned or anything like that. But it just kind of did look like that maybe they were at the tank was running on empty, and they couldn't get off the field on those third and longs. And it was actually, I think, kind of remarkable that they still had a chance to win the game in the final 2 minutes, because one of the things is the second half went on, even though it was, you know, a 3-point game, a 6-point game, it felt like the Saints were winning by 20. It was an odd dynamic, but you know, they still had a chance there. So I do think, yes, to answer your question, I think that did play a part, as kind of, you know, they got out to the fast start and it looked like they were going to get more, and then they had the interception, and then the Saints, you know, with that bold fake punt. And you kind of feel like that took a lot of air out of the balloon. And from that point on, the Eagles were really kind of climbing uphill, and they never quite seemed like the same team as they were in the first quarter in a few minutes.
Sean Payton, when they won their Super Bowl and beat the Colts, opened the second half with an onside kick because, look, he knew he had to, quote, do something. That the fake punt was a signal to me that, hey, look, the Eagles are playing much better than we got to do something to change the dynamic here. Is that how you felt too?
Oh, absolutely. Because I mean, and you got to look at that. That is, you know, people. A lot of people are killing Doug Peterson. I shouldn't say a lot of people. People have brought up the idea that the Eagles actually declined a penalty the play before. It was fourth and one. It would have made it 3rd and 11. And some people are saying, oh, you should have taken the penalty. I don't know of any coach that would have taken the penalty in that situation and given Drew Brees another down to get a first down. I think that was the right call. You know, if that doesn't work, there's a good chance the Eagles go in 21-0, and that Superdome is raining booze down on that Saints team. So that was really bold. You just got to tip your hat to the other guy, and I agree with you. I think the fact that the Eagles really had them on their heels and, you know, the Saints were doing nothing, Sean Payton knew they had to do something to jumpstart it, and that was a really, really bold call.
And also, you know, a good coach has to know his team. They've gone from this wide open, all over the place, 40-point-a-game. Last month, they've had to grind things out. That's how they did it yesterday, is grind it out. That means you've got to change the dynamics if you're grinding it out. And that's, I think, it's another reason why he went for the fake punt, because he knew his team was not the same team as September.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, think about it. They scored 20 points in that game. Eagles scored a touchdown there. They're at 21.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's a good chance that the Eagles may have had enough if they get, you know, if they stop them and get stick it in the end zone, they might have had enough points to win the game right there. It was an interesting game. The momentum shift was significant. I'm watching that game sitting on my couch, and when Will Lutz misses that field goal, I just kind of say to myself, like, they've got a chance to win this game. That's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And unfortunately, you know, the one ball, probably one of the few times you'll ever see a ball go through Alshon Jeffrey's hands, and it ends up being catastrophic.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Of all the guys, because I think he's got great hands, and it's just one of those things, and Lattimore caught it, and that was the end of it. But I'm with you. When Lutz missed the field goal, because the Eagles had blown up all the running plays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were pushing them back.
Yeah, they had made the play before that on the third down. The Saints had run like a little screen that the Eagles just destroyed and ended up losing like 5 yards, and that was the reason they missed the field goal, I think, because that kick's probably good from – it probably just drifts inside from 47. So, you know, that was really big, and when that happened – and then when they get the roughing the passer penalty, and all of a sudden, the one thing I will say, I thought it was, I don't want to say strange, I was surprised that they actually ran the play that ended up being the interception, because I thought they would run it down to the 2-minute warning, because in that situation, you're doing that odd dance where you want to score, but you want to try to score with no time left so the Brees doesn't get it back, and I really thought they would take it down to the 2-minute warning, kind of take a deep breath and go from there, but they snapped it, and we all saw what happened.
Exactly. In praise of Nick Foles, in all likelihood, he's played his last game with the Eagles. You can't blame him. And you could tell even Doug Peterson felt that way about it, too. Just one more on him, and, you know, here's a guy that had been a Pro Bowler, then thought about getting out of it. Then he gets back in it, and he did incredible things.
No, he did. He's got the most unique sports resume in the last 40 years, I think, not just in Philadelphia and pro sports. I don't know anyone else that you could equate to his type of situation. He was phenomenal. I'm not going to say he's the greatest quarterback in Eagles history, but he has got the he's given them some of the greatest moments in franchise history, and he'll always be remembered for that. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, just to see where he ends up, how he ends up there. It's going to be an interesting offseason. He's right at the top of the list, but there's several other guys that you kind of look at and you wonder how the future is going to play out for them. That's the one thing, like, you know, any time a season ends, it's always difficult unless it ends with you hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. But, you know, for this group, you're going to see some key pieces that probably most likely are going to move on. And it'll be tough for the fan base because, you know, these aren't just going to be players that were beloved, but they're players that helped do something that had never been done before.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, who would be some of those key pieces you're going to take a long look at and say, I wonder if that person will be back next year?
I think, you know, in addition to Foles, another guy at the top of the list is Brandon Graham. He's actually a free agent. I don't think it's crazy to think he could be back. I think you have to look. It is probably more on what he is willing to take from the team because this is probably – I think he'll be 31 next year. So this would probably be his final big contract, you know, but how big – it's always hard to. It's easy to say. Always, if he loves it here, he's take a hometown discount. But right. You know, your window for earning power is so small in the NFL. I'm never gonna kill the guy for taking more money or whatever. But he's a guy. He's still a very good player. You know, obviously nowhere not past his prime at all. But the Eagles aren't going to want to give him a ton of years.
No.
They're going to be tight cap-wise, or not tight cap-wise, but they've got a lot of decisions to make. So it's going to be interesting. I would say it's probably 75-25 he's gone, but I don't think it's crazy to think. And then guys like Jason Peters, you know?
Yeah.
He just got so – he's when he was in there, he could still play at a high level, but he was in and out of the lineup so much because of injuries. It's going to be interesting to see how they address – his situation and what they do with him. Those are the two guys, in addition to Foles, that are the first ones that come to mind. And then I think you got another group of guys, I think like Ronald Darby, who was hurt most of the season, the cornerback they got in the trade last year. He's a free agent, but he's been hurt most of the time when he hasn't been here. And maybe some of these young defensive backs actually played their way into bigger roles because of how they were able to perform here down the stretch. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. It really is.
It is very easy when a team wins for people to say, oh, what a coaching job. Oh, man, they did a great coaching job because they won. Sometimes you do a better coaching job in the year you don't win. Considering all the injuries, what kind of coaching job did the Eagles do this year?
I think overall they did a really, really nice job. It's interesting. You know, midseason when they were sitting at 4-6, you had a lot of people wanting them to bring John DeFilippo back to work on the coaching staff after he got hired in Minnesota because offensive coordinator Mike Groh, they said, wasn't getting it done, and Doug Peterson's play calling wasn't the same without Frank Reich. And it's interesting, you don't hear any of that, haven't heard any of that discussion in the last month and a half. It's almost as if maybe everybody wasn't as bad as they seemed. Jim Schwartz gets some criticism. Specifically, I think it's more just frustration because one of the Achilles heels of this Eagles defense, and it popped up throughout the season, was their inability to get off, not on third down per se, but on third and long. And you look back at the, you know, obviously it happened a lot last night against the Saints, but the game they blew in Tennessee, one of the big reasons
right.
they lost that game, they couldn't get off on third and even fourth and long. The game against Carolina that they blew the 17-0 lead. So this was like something that kind of trickled up, but I think if you take a step back, eliminate the emotion and the frustration, the job Jim Schwartz did where he was basically, you know, if you had to list the defensive backs that the Eagles had by the end of the season, you know, by the second half of the Saints game after Rasul Douglas got hurt, you know, they're running in guys that you'd never heard of. And they're playing guys that were on the street a month ago. And that's a tough way to live. So
well,
I think overall they did a really, really good job.
I think when you go into the meeting room and you walk in there and there are eight guys with a tag saying, hello, my name is. I mean, that you know, that tells you at that point that, you know, you're dealing with a different deck. Matt, always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate the time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the brand new Hyundai you deserve with savings of over $7,000. Buy a $25,000 2018 Santa Fe for only $18,259. That's a savings of over $7,000. A 2018 Hyundai Elantra is discounted to an unbelievable $14,810. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has a 2018 Santa Fe Sport that was $34,890 and now only $28,840. Hyundai comes with America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
warranty. No matter what size SUV you're looking for, Sunbury Motors has it. 2019 Hyundai Konas, only 23,210. 2019 Hyundai Tucson, only 26,110. 2019 Santa Fe's, only 26,775. And the 2019 Santa Fe XL starts under 30 grand. Now is the time to get the new Hyundai you deserve. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Welcome, great to have you with us. Just received a interesting note. Did you see you just entered the transfer portal?
Oh, for which school?
The suit.
Really? What could his intentions be?
Jamie, stop clapping your hands. Put your hands back in the wheel. That's not funny.
I'll let you know when the goodbye luncheon will be. I'll keep you in the loop. I know you'll carve out time for that. I know you will.
In fact, I may stay overnight. I may use my points over at the courtyard.
More points to spare after that.
Well, yeah, that is true. I got 311,000 of them right now. And more on the way. Oh, my goodness.
I only need 5,000 for a free night. Flip me five.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I got 311,000 of those. It's like Kathy says, well, what do you want to do about this? I said, we're going to use points. Get out of here. Hey, come on, man. Just, we could stay at my sister's house. I'm like, I tell you, that is not happening. You'd be amazed what peace means to me. That's not funny.
No, it is. That is.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. It's like that old joke I've told a few times on the show about Roy Firestone impersonating Keith Jackson in college football. What does college football mean to me? Oh, about $5 million a year contractually. Oh. How true. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Boy. Suit transfer portal. Yeah. Jamie, happy. I mean, think of all the people who'd be happy. Yeah, think of all the people who'd be happy. Doug, Chief,
Coach Hort, and he's even in Florida.
I might come back.
But not till after the spring.
Oh, no, there's no need. There's no need. Look, the transfer thing, again, when it comes to transfers, there's always a basic question I want to ask. And the answer may be very simple, may be very benign, and it's no issue. That's what you're hoping for. But I always want to ask, why? Why do you want to transfer? Why is said player transferring? What is the issue? What has opened the door for said player to think this way? I just want to know what the issue is.
Well, now in this day and age of social media, when you see some players, they'll go on, you know, maybe Instagram or Twitter and make their announcement. I kind of wonder if there's like people behind the scenes, maybe they wanted to include that in their announcement, but then was told not to for the reason why they're making that next move.
Maybe some think about it, and maybe just quite a few don't. I think for a lot of these guys now sometimes, like, let's take Daylon Darien, for example. Daylon's going to transfer. He announced it last month he was going to go. But he's transferring closer to home because he's got a family member that's not doing well, and he wanted to be closer. Well, I think the world totally understands that reasoning. And so, I mean, that's no issue at all. Some guys are just looking for playing time. Okay. I mean, sometimes it's just as simple as I'm looking around the room and there's a log jam and I don't know if I can get through the log jam. Now, there could be other reasons. I mean, you know, that doesn't mean that there aren't other reasons. But sometimes that's a big one where you look around and say, okay, I want to play. What are my odds of playing? What are my odds of getting significant playing time? What are my odds of being in this logjam and doing enough to impress? Because obviously these guys all want to go to the next level, and I don't blame them. Every single player that is recruited by a Power 5 school, in my personal opinion, thinks that this is the next step on the road to getting to the next level.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. And, you know, whether it happens to be insurance needs for auto, home, life, business, they're the insurance experts. They'll find you the right insurance so you're covered, and they'll find you the best price. Because, look, the last thing you want to feel is like you got ripped off in your insurance. Purdy Insurance will make sure that doesn't happen. They'll get you the best price. They'll look, they'll search, they'll find it, and they'll make sure you're covered in the process. Oh, and by the way, along the way, you'll be updated. That way, if something happens along the way, your insurance has been updated, taken care of, you're still covered because they're the experts, and they care. They care. Big. You have to have a great relationship with your insurance agent. And you have to have great communication with them as well. These guys are terrific, all of them in that office. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Talk about great customer service. Whether it's the service department, the sales staff, whatever, Sunbury Motors is top-notch. Best in the field. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kyler Murray has put his name into the NFL draft. Now, once you put your name in, you do have 72 hours to pull the name out. So he's got 72 hours now to decide for sure, while the Oakland A's are bothering him. And, of course, they bothered him already to the tune of a $4.5 million signing bonus. And he can still weigh his baseball options. It, you know, the difficulty is going to be as follows. Obviously, Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders both played football, baseball at the same time. But they weren't quarterbacks, which does make a difference. And also, Murray is at a spot where he's going to have to work his way through the minors to get there. And that's why NC State ended up dumping Russell Wilson. They dumped him. He didn't dump them. He ended up going to Wisconsin out of need.
And it turned out to be awesome for Wisconsin and awesome for Russell Wilson and bad for NC State. Well, we got Mike Glennon. We're fine. Okay, that's what you think. Good for you. And he played, I want to say that now, while Murray's the ninth overall pick in the draft, Russell Wilson was a fourth-round pick of the Colorado Rockies, and he wanted to play some baseball because he wanted to have some fun. He liked playing baseball. He probably wasn't playing baseball with the idea he was going to be a pro. He wanted to play quarterback. But Tom O'Brien was the coach at NC State at the time, was so mad about him, he says, get the heck out of here. Okay, well, he got the heck out of there to Wisconsin, and the rest is history. Now, Russell Wilson, because of how he has played at the next level in the NFL, Russell Wilson, in my opinion, has paved the way for Lamar Jackson. He has paved the way, I think, in some part for Baker Mayfield, and he's paved the way for a Kyler Murray to be considered. Wilson's not the biggest guy in stature. Wilson can move. Wilson can run. Wilson can throw. He was taken in the third round. I remember the day he got picked. As soon as he got picked, my phone rang. It was Jack. And Jack says, he says, what do you think? And I said, I think they just got the steal of the draft. He says, that's exactly why I was calling. Seattle got the steal of the draft. Because we both, you know, obviously we'd watched him on tape, we watched him in person, and we're like, whoa, this guy is good. Well, Kyler Murray, again, not big in stature. I mean, he's listed at 5'10". He might be all of 5'9". Now, remember, the A's gave him a $4.66 million signing bonus. But Murray did submit the paperwork on Friday for the NFL draft. Then, of course, he went out and won the Heisman Trophy. The A's, by the way, and one of the top marketing guys in Major League Baseball, did meet with Murray and his family in Dallas yesterday. Okay, we will come back. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to bring in our old friend Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. Ben, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right, I'd like to start with the actual football part. And again, it goes back to what we've talked about before, that a lot of fans, and I think fans all over the country, are not comfortable with the transfer database. I mean, because this didn't start till October 15th, so there are a lot of names in there, from Kendall of Oklahoma to Hurts of Alabama to Martell of Ohio State, and now, you know, the four Penn Staters are in there. What were your thoughts on the four that put their names in?
You know, I think Juwan Johnson's probably the one that surprised me the most, only because when you're a guy that, you know, he just graduated, so certainly he can benefit from the grad transfer rule and play right away. But, you know, you figure he comes back next year, you know, it's just easier to play in the system that you already know. It's easier to play with teammates that you already know. If you're not already playing, I certainly understand why the grad transfers of the world go other places, but Juwan seems like a guy, you know, could just benefit from just playing one more year at Penn State and seeing what's next. But obviously that's not how he feels. Lamont Wade, I think, you know, his profile is one of those things where you go, you expect him to play at some point, but certainly early in his career, and becoming less and less early in his career, the writing has been a little bit on the wall that Lamont is still buried down that depth chart. So I think those things make sense a little bit. But one of the things that I think is different, and that people will have to get used to for as fans, is that, you know, putting your name in the transfer portal doesn't necessarily mean you're going to transfer. It means, you know, these kids have got an opportunity to find out their market value, for lack of a better term, and see sort of what the interests are in, you know, from other schools. Because I think one of the things that kind of got left by the wayside last year when Tommy Stevens came back is he kind of mentioned that maybe a different mechanism that allowed him to do this a little bit, but he kind of weighed his options other places and opted to come back.
Right.
So certainly these would not be the first guys to ever go and say, you know, what do I want the rest of my career? Do other people want me? But certainly, you know, transfer portal is the hot word of the week, and Penn State's been hit by it just as much as anybody.
And again, they do have the option if they want to look around, and if they want to stay, they can stay. It's just because you put your name in doesn't mean you go. But they do want to explore, and that can be jolting for a lot of people, including fans who aren't. And this is for every fan base. There, I mean, everybody from Stanford to Oklahoma. I mean, I doubt the fans at Oklahoma thought the Kendall kid, the quarterback, was going to put his name in.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to watch online in particular because you get sort of the most visceral reactions. I think ultimately, I think everyone likes the idea that all of their players, you know, quote unquote, there are loyal to a fault and loyal to an end. But, you know, ultimately this is a business. These kids are finally getting a little bit of power over their careers in ways, you know, before because, you know, you think of Rod Bolden who wanted the transfer. Joe said, you know, no, we're not going to let you. And ultimately, you know, that worked out in Rob Bolden's favor. But now, you know, the Lamont Wades of the world could go and say, hey, I want to transfer. I'm willing to sit out a year. Does anybody want me? And nobody can stop him. There are some risks on the other side. Lamont, in theory, can lose his scholarship that semester for going out and looking. It'll be interesting to see how many schools follow through on that. But, you know, it is a new situation now because you're kind of guessing who's going to put their name in the transfer portal next year. Can you retain guys? You know, I think people like us that watch a lot of college basketball are sort of used to the, you know, 400 guys transferring every offseason.
400?
Normal.
How about 800?
Yeah, so we're used to seeing that. But I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see how college football fans and how college football sort of an institution handles it when, you know, suddenly, you know, you've got the Tuas of the world. And, you know, I think we understand why he wants to transfer, but you've got guys like that essentially becoming free agents. It's a recruiting process all over again.
Yeah, no question. And again, in the end, maybe they want to stay someplace. Now, is the door still open to these guys to stay where they were? That's another question for another time. All right, let's get to basketball. Patrick Chambers did not like what he saw in the first half. I think he was okay with what he saw in the second half. As you watched it, what did you think yesterday?
I mean, I think you're seeing from this team the same thing we've seen throughout the Big Ten schedule, which is really they play pretty good defense for the most part, most of the game. They keep themselves in it. But between sort of self-inflicted turnovers and not constant, but average inability to make shots when they really have to, you know, you get these kinds of games where I think you can look at any given player on this roster, you can watch them in the game at any given moment and go, you know, clearly there's a talented basketball player in there, but, you know, you can't turn the ball over against Michigan State. I was floored to find out after the game when I looked to double check that the Michigan State had actually turned it over four more times than Penn State because it felt like 13 turnovers, felt like 26 for Penn State. But, you know, turnovers, you don't make shots. This has always been an offense that, you know, in theory does its best when it can make shots from the outside. They only shot 22%. Mike Watkins, I think if Mike Watkins can get going offensively, they'll have something there, but he's still figuring things out in a lot of different ways. So right now they've got Lamar Stevens and then a bunch of different guys that are going to show up in varying levels. And I think until they can get consistency out of a lot of freshmen, which is really tough to ask from any team, you know, with a name not Zion Williamson, you know, it's just difficult to ask, and I think you're seeing that right now.
I think Dredd is starting to trend in that direction. What do you think? They're starting to trend towards some consistency.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's playing with confidence, and I think he's figuring out how to play. And I think, you know, he sort of had his slump earlier on, I would say.
Hit
a wall there a little bit, and then he's, you know, been able to come back. I think we're seeing Rozier now is maybe hitting that wall a little bit, and that's kind of what you expected. And I think, you know, Miles Dredd is probably pound for pound has looked the part the fastest, and he had his moment and his comeback. To his credit, he came back into that game yesterday. You would have thought he'd blown out all four Achilles tendons and everything the way he kind of, you know, was rolling around there for a little bit. So it's good to see him back out there. But, you know, I think Lamar said it too after the game that, you know, these freshmen just have to be tougher, and that's not a not saying that they're not tough, but just, you know, I think, you know, Lamar and Josh are pretty much the perfect testament to the kind of player you have to be in Big Ten play, both physically and mentally. And until you've been through a season of doing it, you don't really know what it takes. And unfortunately for Penn State, they've got a lot of guys that haven't done it that are learning on the fly.
Right. And you look at Dredd, for example, he is 19 for his last 41 in threes. That's 46%. So as the season has gotten, look, he's the one you and I both know, Ben, that came in with more of a Big Ten body to begin with. And I think he's able to absorb the grind of this maybe better than the other two at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he's very much, I remember the first time I saw Miles, and I knew it wasn't Lamar because I knew it wasn't Lamar, but if you didn't know that it wasn't Lamar, you could have confused the two because he is very much, you know, a physical specimen, you know, and probably more so than, you know, a lot of the guys on the roster. So I think you're absolutely right. You know, if he gets his confidence or continues to play with confidence, continues to shoot the ball well and can and sort of take the grind here because, you know, non-conference is one thing, early part of the slate's another, and then the more you go into, you know, January, February, and March, you're going to find out what these kids are made out of. But certainly, you know, he's rounding into form that's at least consistent enough for something that they can lean on.
Well, it's interesting because right now KenPom has Penn State as the number 4 rated schedule in the country. ESPN BPI has Penn State at number 2. So, and they've had to go through the grind of this, and it's all been on the road. Now let's get to Bolton and to Myron Jones, the other two. Bolton is 3 for his last 21 in shooting. He's 1 for his last 13 in threes. Myron Jones is 2 for his last 19 overall and 2 for his last 12 in threes. What can the weight room do for these guys in the offseason? Because at least at this point, if they haven't hit the wall, they're at least in the neighborhood of the warning track of it.
Yeah, if they haven't hit the wall, they're going to smack it pretty hard pretty soon because I think, you know, they alluded to it a little bit yesterday that we often forget, I think, how much the weeks can be taxing on these guys' legs. If you lose legs, and we've seen it, yeah, you know, year in and year out with a lot of guys, that all of a sudden, you know, your legs are a little tired, those shots aren't quite falling. And, you know, I think Rozier Bolton, he reminds me a lot of Jamari Wheeler in terms of that sort of 100 miles an hour kind of.
Yeah,
he's a fearless kid. I will give him that. That kid is not afraid of anything, and there's something to be said for that. But, you know, at some point you run out of gas, you run out of legs, and even if it's just a little bit, even if it's just, you know, some small metric amount of tiredness, it affects your shot, it affects your ability to succeed on offense and play consistently. And I think you're seeing that with that because we've seen both of these guys, Bolton a little bit more than Jones, but both of them at times, especially in the non-conference, we know they can play, we know they can make shots, but right now they're just struggling to
do it. That's the frustrating part. You know they can play, and you know they can make shots. That's the frustrating part. What did you think of Kyle McCluskey yesterday? Just getting in for his 18 minutes, what did you think of him?
I mean, he I looked over at Mark Brennan when they checked in, and I said it was the ghost of Nick Colella, and it really reminded me of that sort of, you know, you're throwing in this kid that's going, oh, my God, I can't believe that my first, you know, college actions against Michigan State. But I thought, you know, he had a rebound down there, down the stretch. You know, he did well for himself in a game where there was, you know, honestly just not a lot of great things for Penn State to lean on. I think he went out, looked like he belonged, played with confidence, and, you know, that's sort of a Pat Chambers staple that anybody that comes off the bench, you know, are they going to be the next Taylor Battle? Probably not. But, you know, that guy's going to go out, play with confidence, and give a lot of effort. And I give him a lot of credit because Lord knows if I went out there, I would have made a lot more mistakes than he did.
There's a reason I sit where I sit. All right. Ben, thanks so much. Appreciate it very much.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Steve.
And we'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Well, it certainly is a new era in college football with the transfers. It's a new era in college football with the number of players opting for the NFL draft. And it doesn't mean that you, the fan, have to be happy with it. If you're disgusted by it, fine. You're the one that pays the freight, essentially. So if you're disgusted by it, I don't blame you. Same time, everybody has a lot of reasons why they do something. I pointed out that for the four guys in question here, they may have been looking at the
just in the room that they're in, saying, I'm not so sure I have any upward mobility here. Now, would all four of them help the team? I think that all four would help. But they would not have probably helped to the extent that each one hoped, you know, with starting, playing full-time, getting 40 to 50 plays in a game. It's just not, you know, it probably wasn't in the cards for those guys. As I pointed out earlier, what's the situation at each spot? You got two wideouts, both going to be fifth-year guys in Johnson and in Polk, yet you've got a redshirt freshman in Shorter, a redshirt freshman in George, a true sophomore in Dotson, a redshirt sophomore in Hippenhammer, a redshirt sophomore in Hamler, and you got a true freshman coming in Dunmore that a lot of people think highly of. Well, that's a logjam. All right, now you're McPherson and Wade. What do you have? Let's see. McPherson looks at corner and he sees Reed. He sees Castro Fields. He sees Donnie Johnson. And he sees Trent Gordon. And then how they recruited there. Now you look at safety. You got Jonathan Sutherland. He jumped the pack. Sutherland jumped people and got to the front of the line. Garrett Taylor's back. You got to still have Aaron Monroe. It's not quite, and I think you start looking around the room saying, what are my odds of playing? And that's what's happened with, I think, with some of these guys, where they start wondering exactly how much are we going to play. I mean, Lamont Way was playing in dime situations. That's fine. But that's going to get you from 2 to 8 plays a game. You know, I mean, these guys all have dreams of going someplace, so they ask themselves whether this is still the avenue to do it. Because, and if they look around the room and they see a logjam, like, I don't know. And if Penn State goes nickel next year, Donovan Johnson's already played that spot with some level of proficiency, as has John Reed. But this is the, you know, this is the era we're in. Doesn't mean it's an era you have to be happy with. That's why I'm wondering down the road. Look, if they're... down the road, and you know this will be appealed, but say the door is finally open to paying student-athletes. Say it happens, which will be another era which will make college football fans uncomfortable. It's going to affect so many sports because athletic departments are going to drop sports. And as I pointed out, and I'll give you a great example, Penn State Wrestling sold out again yesterday. Penn State Wrestling will not be dropped. But here's your problem. 40 schools may drop it. And now you're down to a handful that have the sport. See, that's what you have to watch out for.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.